From a transmitter atop Great Blue Hill, this is WGBH, live, local talk, Boston Public Radio.
This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. If you live in Greater Boston and like pizza, chances are you had a slice at Upper Crust. What appeared to be a franchise on the rise filed for bankruptcy protection in October. Yesterday, 10 of the pizza shops went on the auction block. Joining me on the line from her Boston law firm is attorney Shannon Liss Reardon. She bid on the Harvard Square Upper Crust Pizzeria yesterday. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you.
Now, you're not just in the market to own a pizza place. You have an interesting relationship with Upper Crust. What motivated you to bid yesterday?
Well, I've been representing the employees who brought a lawsuit against Upper Crust a couple of years ago based on some pretty egregious labor violations. And it was a pretty unusual string of events that led to yesterday.
Well, what were the violations? Let's go back and examine that before we go forward.
Well, so what happened was back in 2009, the Department of Labor investigated Upper Crust and found that they weren't paying overtime to many of their workers. And the Department of Labor ordered the company to pay approximately $350,000 in back wages to employees. And then what the company did was they paid them back, and then we have gathered evidence to find that they then very craftily decided they were going to get that money back from their employees. And so all the employees were told, if they wanted to keep their jobs, they'd have to pay the money back to the company. So some employees paid it back in cash. Other employees worked longer hours for less pay and had the wages deducted from their pay over the coming months. And other employees said no, they didn't want to give the money back and they lost their jobs.
So we should say that everything that you've just outlined is a part of a lawsuit that you filed, which is still pending.
Yes, nothing
is finalized, but you are eventually going to go to court and someone will rule on whether all of these things, as you've just outlined, were the case. But that's the scenario.
That's correct. Those are the allegations in the complaint. We have confirmation from a number of managers, including eyewitnesses to these events. But that's correct. We have a jury trial scheduled for next August, at which time this would be actually played out in court if it's not resolved before then. But so what happened was we filed a class action lawsuit on behalf of these employees who were pressured to pay their Department of Labor back wages back to the company if they wanted to keep their jobs. And then things began to unravel with the company further over the past year, and the owners started fighting with each other. Eventually, it led to a bankruptcy filing a couple of months ago. And at that point, the owners were saying they wanted to try to restructure, reorganize to keep the company afloat, but then it looks like what happened was they actually just took the rest of the money out of the company. The bankruptcy court had to install a trustee to take over the company. The trustee came in and saw that there wasn't enough money to keep it running. And one day last month, the trustee had to close the doors of the Upper Crust, and about 150 employees were out on the street that day.
So we should say that part of the reason that there wasn't enough money to keep going forward is that the executives, as you've described them, they were fighting among each other, paid themselves a month's salary in advance, and that didn't leave much left over.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what led the trustee to have to close the doors. So that really just brought on even faster the recent events that have unfolded. And the trustee determined that in order to try to recover some money for the creditors, and the creditors include the employees who have these claims that are pending in our class action lawsuit, that he would put the 10 stores that were closed up on the auction block. And that's what happened yesterday.
I am speaking with Shannon Liss Reardon. She is an attorney who represented workers at the Upper Crust Pizzeria, the corporation whose doors were shuttered by a bankruptcy court and then led by a trustee who, while the lawsuit, by the way, is still pending. So it's that lawsuit is still going on. But that meant that the pizza chain locations were up for auction, as they were yesterday. And you, Shannon Liss Reardon, bid on the Harvard Square location. Now, why did you do that?
Well, when the doors got shuttered last month, I immediately started having conversations with a number of people about the idea. It just seemed like the right thing to do, to try to organize something so that some good could come of this really, really sad story and perhaps turn the company into something that could be for the workers, even a worker-owned type company. So over the last few weeks, I've been talking with a number of potential investors about this idea. There was some interest. It was sort of a lot to put together very quickly. And so in recent weeks, I started focusing on the possibility of myself being an investor to try to make this happen with at least one location. And so an investor and I yesterday put a bid in for the Harvard Square location, and we got it. And we are now looking forward to creating this model workplace in Harvard Square of former upper crust employees who will now have ownership shares where they work. And we're really excited about this idea and trying to turn this into a better ending to the story.
You bought it for $220,000. I think what you've said about, you know, why you bought it is admirable. But gee, I think a lot of people would say, well, what's in it for you in the end? Were these locations quite profitable before owners fought with each other and all kinds of other issues came to the fore?
Yeah, I think the chain was doing well before all of this unfolded. And I think it's a really exciting opportunity to see a restaurant that's owned by the workers and to show what kind of a success it can be when the workers who are there feel valued, feel like they're well paid, and feel like they're actually earning something based on the success of the restaurant itself. So that's what we're looking forward to putting into place.
So it's a little bit complicated because I know that people are, maybe some people are listening and they're saying, listen, my upper crust is still open. So the guy who originally founded it, Jordan Tobins, still controls two of the restaurants, and they're open in Brookline and Beacon Hill. There are also four independently owned franchise locations that are not part of the bankruptcy that are operating in Plymouth and West Roxbury, Newburyport, and Portsmouth, New Hampshire. So that's that. But there are those 10 locations, including the Harvard Square one that you just purchased, that were up for bid and that were all bought yesterday, some by actually the landlords where the restaurants were located, which I thought was interesting. A couple of those went to landlords.
Yes, that's right. I know it is a little complicated, but yes, what you just described is correct.
So given that there's not much we can say yet about this lawsuit because it's still pending, in general, what would you hope after your lawsuit comes to court, what should be the lesson, if anything, or what message do you want people to take away from this particular scenario? Part of this is just, you know, we have to put aside people, owners fighting with each other and other concerns. But just looking at the lawsuit that you filed about the workers allegedly not being paid back wages and then being forced, when that got settled, being forced to pay back the wages that the company returned to them. How should that be looked at from the outside?
Well, I think and I hope that this case sends a really strong message out there to business owners, to employers, that that we have laws in place that protect workers, and those laws are really serious. They really need to take them seriously. This case is really one of the most egregious fact patterns that I've really ever faced in my career doing wage and hour work, and that is what I do. Is I specialize in representing lower wage workers and wage and hour cases, and I think that this case could be a really important symbol for employers out there to know that, you know, even if their employees don't seem like the types of employees who are so likely to stand up for themselves, or they think they can be, the employers think they can take advantage of them you know, because of their situations. It's, you know, it's really hard for employees to stand up to their employers to enforce these laws because employees are beholden to their employers. You know, they depend on them for their livelihood. They it's it takes a very strong person to stand up and assert their rights and assert their rights on behalf of all of their coworkers as well. So what I really hope comes out of this case is a strong message to employers that employees have these rights. There are very good reasons why our legislature has strong laws protecting employees' rights to wages. And I also hope it serves as a symbol for employees out there who will realize they have rights and there is something they can do about it when those rights are being violated. That the people who came forward to bring this case faced great odds in doing so. It was a very brave and strong thing for them to do. And I think if employers know that there are going to be repercussions for taking advantage of people this way, I think that will be another very good ending to the story if that message can be spread a little further.
I'm talking to attorney Shannon Liss Reardon. Is there also a message to be taken away? Because a lot of the people that you represented in this now class action suit were immigrants who we can assume might be even more reluctant to say something, recent immigrants, I should say. Is there some message there that because there are a lot of, there's a growing immigrant population in Massachusetts, so it's possible there's some other folks who don't know that they're being taken advantage of?
Yeah, no, I think that's also a very important point because I think just by and large, a lot of recent immigrants to this country, may not realize that they have these rights. They may not realize that there is something they can do when they're being taken advantage of, even if they don't speak English. Even though they didn't know there was a law, there are organizations they can go to. There are places that they can call to find out what can be done. And it's really important for our economy as a whole and for workers throughout the Commonwealth and throughout the country, really, for the laws to be enforced evenly everywhere, because employers shouldn't be allowed to feel that there are certain groups that they can exploit because they won't get caught, because that's only going to lead to more of a race to the bottom. We don't want employers feeling that there are certain groups of employees, especially immigrants or recent immigrants, who that they can get away with paying less because it's going to hurt everybody.
So, Ms. Liss Reardon, you're an attorney. How are you going to run a restaurant? I mean, I don't think that was on your agenda at the beginning of 2012.
It wasn't. I'm really quite excited about it. So I have a business partner who's working on this with me, and he owns a small business in Harvard Square right down the block from where this is going to be taking place. And there are also employees who are working at the Upper Crest in Harvard Square who are eager to continue working there, who knew how it ran, and we're going to be talking with them and figuring out ways to get it up and running again, hopefully get it up and running even better with perhaps some twists. So I'm looking forward to this new venture. I know this is really unusual for someone in my situation, but I'm hoping to have fun with it, and I'm hoping that others will be as excited about it as I am, and I'm looking forward to a really great partnership. And a number of these employees are actually my clients, so this is kind of an unusual situation here. But I think it will be an exciting new venture.
So with your partner and the folks who know how to run the restaurant or who were there before, you have a lot of support as you've outlined. But do you see yourself going to restaurant supply companies, picking out menu items, to deciding whether I want sun-dried tomatoes or bacon on my pizza? Are you going to be that granular?
we're going to see how that works out. I mean, I'm expecting to play a role in conceptualizing and in designing what we do, and I'll be out there doing some of it too. But I really think we're going to have a team in place that's going to be carrying out a lot of that. And we do have, like I said, some ideas up our sleeve for making this really a fantastic location that I'm really looking forward to getting off the ground.
Well, where the building itself or where the facility was, prior to the shutdown, is a really good location. Harvard Square is great for so many reasons. So when do you think you'll open your doors again?
Well, I can't promise that exactly. We have to clean it up a little bit and get the plans in place to get it up and running. We're hoping to do it as soon as possible, sometime early in 2013. But I don't have an opening date yet. But stay tuned, and we're going to get right on it.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with attorney Shannon Liss Reardon, who's now also a pizza shop owner. She filed a lawsuit against the Boston-based Upper Crust pizza chain on behalf of employees who say the bankrupt chain exploited their work and took back wages from them. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to continue the gun conversation that we've been having this week with David Kennedy. He's a self-taught criminologist who's using an unorthodox approach to stopping crime and violent deaths in our cities. I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio on 89.7 WGBH.